Hello and welcome to the 14th edition of the Raise World podcast. Hello also to all of you blind cool tech listeners out there. This is Ray and this is MySpace. First of all, I want to congratulate three people for beating me to doing MySpace podcast the way that I was going to do it. Actually, Andre and Sarah were the first to do their space podcast barefooted. Sarah was the first to do her living space podcast barefooted, outside and inside. And I am the third. I had planned to be the first, but that is not the way it worked out. I am currently standing in my driveway, dressed as I always am in warm weather, short sleeves, shorts, and bare feet. The chances are I'm probably the only one who lives in this entire complex who goes around barefooted, but as I said previously, I do what I do for my enjoyment, not for the benefit of my neighbors. Anyway, I am standing here in my driveway, and I should say something about this driveway. The driveway is cemented. There is only one gravel driveway along this road, and it is not mine. A general description of my building generally is in order. The bottom of the buildings, there are two buildings, in fact, are brick, and the top is wood. I live in the upstairs part on the building on the right. What I mean by the building on the right is that as you come up my driveway, as a car is doing right at this very moment on your right side, it's got a six-cylinder engine, I notice. As you come up my driveway, there is an alley. That it's kind of an alley between two buildings. And there's a building with apartments on the left, and there is a building with apartments on the right. I'm standing in this alley now, and my building is the one with apartments on the right. You can probably hear my voice bouncing off the walls as I'm talking in this alley. I don't know exactly how it's being picked up, but right at the moment I'm standing right in the middle of this alley, and I dare say that if you listen carefully, you can probably hear my voice bouncing off both the left and the right side brick walls. If I were to clap my... Well, let me see. Well, let me wait till the wind dies down here. The wind always blows at the most inopportune moments. Good wind protection or not, I'd rather wait till the wind dies down so you can hear the effect. Quite clearly distinguish the echoes there. Well, if you follow the building on the right, see, I'm approaching the right side wall, and the reflections now are bouncing mainly off the left side wall. That's the wall to the other building. If I put my building on my right, the brick wall eventually ends. Good morning. And it terminates right at Miss Arlene's apartment. She lives right below me. And if you turn right, there's a fire hydrant right here, which is a good thing. Believe me, there's a good thing. That fire hydrant is, I mean, right at the entrance. If the fire company has to get to it, they can get to it expeditiously. Well, as you turn right, Miss Arlene's apartment door is visible. And it's also right underneath the stairwell. And if you go forward, you're actually following the staircase downward. until you get to the foot of the staircase. And here's where we're going to change things a little bit from what you would normally expect. If you were to go into my apartment, you would have to turn right and go up this staircase, and there'd be banisters on either side. That is not, however, what we're going to do at first. We're going to go to the building right across the parking lot. And now you're thinking, oh my goodness, he's gone off the edge. He wants to show us a tour of his apartment, but he's going completely opposite direction. What, has he lost his mind? No, there's a very good reason that I'm going to take you over to that building. To get to that other building, you would put your back to the banisters in such a way that the banister is perpendicular to you and sloping upward to the left. And you walk forward until you come to... until you come to this this car. Cars are always in the way. This is not a yard. This is a parking lot. Let's be clear about that. This is a parking lot, and so that's how they use it. They're entitled to. They drive, I guess. Well, anyway, you can tell this is a concrete surface, partly by my cane and partly, I guess, by the sound of my bare feet tapping against the concrete. Okay, I need to stop here in front of this building to explain a couple of things to you. You hear a hum on the left, doubtless, and I will explain that hum in just a moment. But I do want to take a moment to explain what is directly in front of me. Right in front of me is the set of apartment mailboxes. Now, it costs $20 for a mailbox key here. And I should point out that they are apartment mailboxes, which means, of course, that they are not very big. Normally, as apartment mailboxes go, you'd be lucky to fit one talking book into one. Or maybe two, if you really, really want to stretch it. This apartment mailbox can, in fact, fit four cassette containers of the kind which can store four cassettes apiece. This apartment mailbox is also capable of storing those cassette containers which take six cassettes apiece. Just how big is this particular set of apartment mailboxes? Well, in order to fit three cassettes of three containers of six cassettes each into this apartment mailbox, it is necessary for the mailman to accomplish a minor miracle. In order for me to get those containers out of this mailbox, it is necessary for me to accomplish a major miracle. Yes, it has been done before, but generally what will happen is that when I get a large supply of talking books, the mailman had usually delivered them in a mail-carrying crate with but one request, and that was that I return the crate along with the talking books when I'm done. It's a very simple matter to open the mailbox. It's almost not worth doing. The mailbox key is the middle-sized key. As I expected, nothing. All right, and that's how you get your mail. How do you send mail? Well, it depends. If you have a letter or a small package or something, you can put it on top of the mailbox box. You know, you can put it on top of this cubby of mailboxes here, and the mailman will usually pick it up. My preference is to wait for the mailman himself, because that way I know as a fact that my package will be picked up. I will move along now to this hum. What is this hum on the left here? Well, now I'm going to put the hum right in front of me. I am now standing in front of what must surely be the most beat-up Coke machine in the history of any place in the world, any time in the world. To describe this Coke machine, well, it's a fairly stereotypical type regular Coke machine. You have a rather... Somebody has cut this coin slot with a knife. That's the first thing that's damaged about this Coke machine. Somebody has cut this coin slot with a knife. This machine is so beat up and damaged, it's unbelievable. They need to take this machine out of here or replace it. But they won't. I don't know why, but they won't. I guess they figure if they put a new machine, somebody will just vandalize it also. What this coin slot looks to me like is that somebody put a quarter in and they couldn't retrieve it because the machine wouldn't swallow the quarter entirely. Or it just wouldn't give them their quarter back when they press this money return button. That never works. And so what it looks like somebody has tried to do to this machine is they have taken a knife and they've tried to cut the coin slot wider so they could get their money out with a tweezers or something. Whether they did or not, I don't know, but that coin slot has been damaged for a long time. Then, of course, you have your money return button on the left, which, as I say, never works. Never. Then you have your main button for Coke. That's the big button. All by itself. Then you have four buttons for Coke just below it. And then you have below that your other two rows, which contain all kinds of other drinks, which I don't know what they are. I think one of them is Sprite. I think another one is who knows what the other one is. Anyway, then to the left of all those buttons, you have your dollar bill slot. That sometimes works, and it sometimes doesn't. In fact, this whole machine sometimes works, and it mostly doesn't. And that may be the reason for what is on the left of this dollar coin slot. It's supposed to be the plastic front of the machine. But apparently, 2 or 3 months ago, somebody got really ticked at this Coke machine because the front is all dashed in. There's this colossal dent in the machine. It looks like, boy, somebody really got mad at this machine. It looks like there's knife marks all over the front. I mean, there's, God, somebody really got ticked at this machine. There's knife marks all over the plastic here. And there's this, like, great, big, colossal, huge dent in the machine. I've never seen such a dilapidated machine in all my life. And I think I know why. Let me explain a little something about how this Coke machine works. Or maybe I should say how it doesn't work, because that's its normal modus operandi. It really is screwed up. 9 times out of 10, it won't take your money at all.
I think you gotta press, as soon as you put it in,
I know what to do. I'm doing a podcast. I'm explaining why this machine does not work two-thirds of the time, which it doesn't. It really is a screwed up machine. I mean, look at the front of this thing. You ever seen such a thing in your life?
No,
look at that.
I don't know why they don't come bring another one.
You know why? Because they know somebody just gonna mess it up again.
Yeah, and you're right. So you do better keeping this one here.
That's right.
And it takes your money. It takes your money, and then it gives your money to someone else a few days later.
That's right. Well, before I try this, and I'm probably taking a chance trying this, because, like I said, this machine does not work 9 times out of 10. It won't take your money, or like you just said, it'll take your money and give it to somebody else, or it doesn't give your money to anybody else. And 9 times out of 10, even if it does take your money, and even if it does give you a drink, 9 times out of the 10, you're likely not to get the drink you press. you press the big button up here for a Coke and you're liable to get zero Coke or some garbage like that. If you press one of the regular Coke buttons, you're liable to get who knows what, if anything. And even if you do get something, 9 times out of 10, it's usually something you don't like. I don't know what it is about this machine, but I'm going to take a chance here and try to insert a dollar. It looks like it's going to take my dollar this time. I heard the thingy go off. So let's see. Oh, crap. Oh, man. I dropped it. Well, sometimes that happens, too.
What you looking for? Your money fell?
Yeah. No, on the ground near the machine.
Here you go.
Yeah, thanks.
Am I putting it in that for you?
No, I got it. Well, anyway, thanks. Well, here goes this time. Second try. What? That's different. Never did that before. Okay. Well, I'm going to press one of the buttons I know is supposed to be for Coke. Let's see what happens. Man. Nothing. Let me try the second button. Nothing. Let me try the third one. And the fourth one. Okay, let me try the big button at the top here. Okay, let me try one of these two rows and see if I get anything. Nothing in that one. Nothing in that button. Nothing in that button. Nothing in that button. Now I'm really taking a chance. I'm going to the bottom row of buttons. Nothing. 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 All right, let me try the money return. See what I told you, folks? This machine is... Well, now it really has a dent in it. Well, I'm not going to fuss with that thing too much, but you just saw a perfect example of how this machine behaves, folks. That is typical of this machine. Okay, well, enough of that. Into the utility room, which windows are always open. As you come into the utility room, you'll notice a rather massive echo, and that's because the utility room is mainly empty. Now, as you come in, right on the left, you have two washing machines, and it would seem they are both in use. The washing machine that is most on the left as you come in was put in here about 2 years after I moved in. This washing machine was in here when I moved in. Now, there used to be a laboratory on the wall that I'm facing as I come in. Now, I should explain that down here in my part of the country, what we call a laboratory, the rest of you might call a bathroom sink or a wash basin or some other such as that. What we call a zinc, the rest of y'all probably call a sink. Okay, well, if you turn right and thus put the washing machines behind you and you walk forward two dryers. I should point out that these are electric dryers and they operate on 220. And so that's all there is to this utility room, folks, excepting that if you turn right again, you'll find the table.
Oh, you got something in there to wash?
Nope. I don't use this anymore.
Why?
Because when I used to use it, 2 times out of 3, the machines didn't work, particularly the one on your right there. But anyway, so in this utility room also there is the other side of the mailbox is that the mailman comes into.
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, it's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, stop.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm sorry about that.
So anyway,
too long. We'll put it on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
I used to use this utility room at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, way back when I first moved in here, until the machine stopped working, and then I chose another method of getting my laundry done. But anyway, in this utility room is the portion of the mailboxes that the mailman opens up to put everybody's mail in when they have mail. And now we'll leave the downstairs neighbors alone and go back to my place. Oh, excuse me. Well, folks, my advice is we're passing the Coke machine again, and my advice is if you want a drink, go to a convenience store or go somewhere and buy you a drink somewhere else, but don't ever try this Coke machine if you come here, because it's screwed up again, just like it always does. Well, forget that. Now we're going back to my apartment building. And here we are at my apartment building. This time, I'm not going to put the staircase on the left. We're going to go upstairs to my apartment. There's only one flight of stairs. They just rebuilt this staircase last year, so it's good and strong. We go upstairs now to my apartment. The first thing that you'll notice when you come up here is you are on cement. What I'm actually standing on right now is bare cement. But much of this landing is carpeted. I for the life of me, never understood why they carpeted this cement landing. It seems pretty senseless to me, but that's what they did. Just to the left as I come in, there happens to be a bucket of mop water that's mine. I decided that the sensible thing to do would be to come out here and do the outside of my space podcast before going back in. That way, by the time I did get back in, the floor would be all dry. I'm leaving the mop out for the time being. Pine saw. I should mop more often. Okay, well, we'll just take this bucket inside, I suppose. Full of sudsy, soapy water. You know, I could as well dump this out on the landing, but I don't want to do that. Okay, well, I need to describe this door. It's been freshly painted. And the first thing you notice right as you come up to my door are 3 coax wires on the right side, or close to the right side of the door jamb. One wire is for the cable company. That's when I used to have cable. The other 2 wires are for my DirecTV satellite service. We'll go over that in a minute. But first, as you come in, the first thing you'll notice about the floor as you come in is the floor is tile. Hear that? It's tile. Until you take your second step and you all of a sudden find carpet under your feet. Well, I always lock the doors when I come in here because this neighborhood is not what it used to be, which is unfortunate, but true. Well, let's see. I'll just close the door and we'll begin. I will leave this mop bucket here for the time being. All right, standing in the living room now, on the tile portion of the floor, as you can hear. And there's one thing I need to tell you right away about this living room. Quite apart from its being of average size, this living room is notable for one characteristic particularly. Not the shape of the room, nor the size of the room. This living room is notable for the fact that in it there is only one piece of normal furniture. That's right, there is only one piece of normal furniture in this living room. That is the sofa. As you come in, and by the way, what's on the right side? We'll leave the right side of the living room alone for now because there's so much to describe on the right side that it's faster to describe the left side first. And so, that is what we'll do. Besides, I've got to empty this mop bucket out and I'm going to do that later. I'm going to start as I began. The sofa is on the... If you come off of the tile and come onto the carpet and you turn left, the sofa is on your left and there are wires on the floor relating to that which is on the right side of the living room, but we'll deal with that side of the room of its own accord. As you pass along, you'll notice that just about the point where the sofa ends, or perhaps a couple of steps or so out from the ending of the sofa, you come in to the kitchen. There is no dining area proper. You just simply come into the kitchen. I suppose maybe that you could eat at the counter in the kitchen, or you could set up one of those TV tray type configurations so that you could eat in the living room. But there is, in fact, no dining space in this apartment. So I guess you're meant to eat on the fly, I suppose. Well, as you come in to the kitchen, you step off the carpet and you step onto linoleum. See, this is the carpet, which you can't hear. And then this is the linoleum, which, of course, you can hear. Now, this linoleum feels like the pretty much the regular boring linoleum. Its surface is a little, it's actually quite smooth for linoleum. It isn't tile, it is linoleum, but it doesn't feel like it's cut into sections like some linoleum is. It's one continuous, very slightly rough linoleum. When I say rough, I mean that it feels like what linoleum feels like underneath you. It doesn't come in flat sections, or it doesn't feel like there's any kind of design on the floor or anything like that. Anyhow, as you come into the kitchen, you'll notice that there is counter space on the left. On this counter space, I have, several things. I have a phone, one of the multitudinous phones I have in this place. I also have the paper towel holder, and I also have a Hamilton Drink Master. This is one of those things that you can make malts with it, which is how I use it, or you can, I guess, use it to make other drinks as well. Let's see if I've got it plugged in. No, I don't. There really is not enough working space in this kitchen for my liking. I can use it, and I do use it, but I don't like it because there really is not enough workspace in here. As you step past the working space, you come to the stove. This is an electric stove. There's nothing particularly noteworthy about this stove, except that it is one of those stoves that does not have electronic controls. It is not one of those stoves that has the smooth cooktop surface where you can't tell where your burners are except if you turn them on and halfway burn your hand. It has the conventional physical burners. And the way you control the stove, the controls are not on the front of the stove, they're on the back of the stove. And they are knobs. There's nothing electronic about the way in which this stove is controlled. It's all knobs. Now, going back to the workspace that was to the left of the stove, of course, if you open the cabinets, you have what everybody has in their cabinets. Assorted foods and so forth. Really nothing to describe there. But coming back to the stove, of course, you have your vent hood. This vent hood, it's plugged in, of course. That's high. That's low. And that's off. The only light hood, the only light that this vent hood has is a bare light bulb. That's it. Now, putting the stove back on your left and going to the cabinet facing you, of course, you have your upper cabinets, which contain more stuff. The lower cabinets, of course, contain assorted pots and pans. And underneath, I should mention this, underneath the stove, in that section where you pull out the drawer underneath the stove, in this drawer is a set of pots that I got for Christmas, this past Christmas. A brand new set of pots. Absolutely brand new. And they all work too. Now then, putting the stove back on your left and coming forward, you'll find more workspace. Just about the same amount of workspace that was there before. On this aspect of the counter, I have my one cup coffee pot, a toaster oven, and a deep fat fryer. Can you guess which appliance I like best? Right at the moment, it's my deep fat fryer, but I also make coffee sometimes during the afternoons. Directly in front of me is a double sink. A garbage disposal is in the right side of this sink. Actually, I had the garbage disposal installed. It was not here when I first moved in. But it is now. In the left side of the sink, there are dishes. A few of them anyway. And on the, well, staying on top of the counter, as you leave the sink, you come to, well, I bought an ice crusher, an electric ice crusher, and it does work. I bought it from Service Merchandise when we still had a Service Merchandise here in Houma. And just to the right of the ice crusher is the microwave. There is an interesting story about this microwave, which I must tell. In 1990... Oh, when was it? 1990... 94 or 95, when I was still living on Verrett Street, there was a bad electrical storm. And the power went out. During the course of that power outage, the storm raged and then the power came back on. When the power came back on, there was such a surge to it that it burned out my AT&T 5600 answering machine, which I had at the time. And it also burned out my microwave, which I had when I was going to the Louisiana Center for the Blind in Ruston. And that really made me angry, because I got that microwave for Christmas of 1987, and I took it back with me to Ruston, and it served me well, until it was burned out by the power company, which was not Sleeka, it was another power company. And I did what everybody does when something like that happens. I filed a claim against the power company. The power company denied it. But I pressed and pressed until they finally gave me a new microwave. I made them give me a new microwave. They made me sign a waiver declaring them not responsible, and I figured, well, I got what I wanted, so what the heck? Maybe I shouldn't have signed that waiver, second thought. But it's a Frigidaire, and it does work. Now, speaking of things that are frigid, if you come to the right of the microwave, if you, in fact, turn so that that counter with the zinc and the microwave on that is to your left, you come across the refrigerator, which is right to the right of all that. And, as a matter of fact, well, what can I say? It's a typical refrigerator, inside of which there are drinks. And since the Coke machine took that dollar from me, I feel entitled to a drink as I continue along. Now, putting the icebox on left, you come into a hallway. Which hallway is very narrow? It's got to be the smallest hallway that I have ever seen. There are two ways to get into this hallway, one of which is coming into it the way I did from the kitchen. The other way is if you follow the right side of the living room and then you turn right, you'll be in the same hallway. I suppose that I should turn once I get into this hallway and put there's a hall closet, typical hall closet, what can I say? It's got a hot water heater in it, and if you put that hall closet on your left and turn, you'll come into the bathroom. Well, what can I say, folks? It's a typical bathroom. As you come in on the left, the laboratory is on the left, and of course the counter and the assorted cleaning supplies. The commode, which I believe most of you call a toilet, and sometimes we do too, is right past the laboratory. And the bathtub, which is a fiberglass bathtub. I don't know about you, but I don't like fiberglass bathtubs all that well, but what can I say, hon? You get what you get. When you rent, you don't have a choice. And besides, it functions as a bathtub, so I can't really complain. The bathtub is right in front, and it's the faucet on the bathtub is weird. They've had to change the hot water faucet. It's different from the cold water. The valves are different. Hot water different from the cold water valve. And you turn the knobs in different directions to turn things on. The shower curtain is one that I installed. It did not come with the apartment. Well, anyway, it's a typical bathroom. There's really not much to say. A bathroom is a bathroom. If you make a 180 degree turn, you'll notice that I've got a hook that I guess was supposed to be for paper towels. I've got a rosary hanging on that hook in case I want to say one in the bathtub, which I sometimes do. And coming back out of the bathroom and following on the left, you'll come into my bedroom. And in my bedroom is evidence of the fact that I am a Rat Pack. One of these days I must do a podcast on the mixed blessing of being a Rat Pack. But I'll tell you briefly now what a Rat Pack is. A Rat Pack, of course, is a person who can't throw anything away. A Rat Pack will sit down one day and be bound and determined to go through their things and throw everything away. But when they actually do go through everything, they wind up thinking, oh well, I can't throw this away. I remember when I got this or that item. I was at this or that place. I can't throw this away. This has precious memories to me. And so what happens? Nothing gets thrown away. Nothing. Another thing about a Rat Pack is that you will, if you find something that is broken and you're not a Rat Pack, you'll say, oh, well, this is broken. I'm going to throw it away. A Rat Pack, on the other hand, when he finds something that's broken, will say, this is broken, but let me put it aside just in case someday I find somebody who can fix it. That's it, folks. That's truly it. Now, the bedroom itself, well, it's a typical bedroom. It's big for the bedroom for this apartment. On the right hand, as you come in, I've got an assortment of tapes. My APH 5198 tape player, which still works. It's got a short in a couple of the switches. And all along the wall, there are tapes, and more tapes. Not talking books, just tapes. Various issues of the Braille Monitor and so forth. As you're coming along the right side wall, facing me right at this moment is a record rack in which I've got multitudinous vinyl records that I got from my mom when they sold our house on Stephanie Street, and she gave me all of her vinyl record collection. Putting that vinyl collection on your right, you'll come to my nightstand and then the bed. This bed does have a rather interesting story behind it. I got this bed when I was 5 years old. Yep, folks. It's the same bed I got when I was 5 years old. In 1970, I still remember when the Sears man came to install the bed in my bedroom in the house we had at the time. It's actually two beds. There's the normal bed, which is what is called a captain's bed. There's no box spring for the mattress. The mattress just simply sets on a plank of wood. There's a trundle bed underneath it, which originally did not have a mattress, but it does now. Going to the foot of the bed, there are more records, more vinyl records, albums mainly, some 45s, not enough 78s. I need to do something about my 78 collection if I can. Anybody out there got any 78s? Or know where I can get some. Anyway, coming just past the records on the wall are open reel tapes. My late Uncle Elgin had an open reel player, which I got from my Auntie Lane. It's a 4-track quarter inch machine, and there are numerous 7-inch reels along the wall here. I have one rather curious problem. I do have a couple of 10-inch reels, but I don't have the 10-inch take-up. So, I don't know. Closing the windows, which is what I'm going to do now. There are two windows, and the screens are practically brand new. I'm going to tell you that there's really nothing more, except that if you put the windows on your right, you'll find, well, guess what? You'll run into the first of my multitudinous boxes, which boxes contain more tapes, more vinyl records, and my computer software used to be in here, but I didn't. I moved it into a better location. All over the floor, As you come to my chest of drawers, which is on the right, there are boxes. There are so many boxes that you have to get to the closet, which is right ahead of me, before you can get to the chest of drawers. What can I say? It's a typical chest of drawers in which there are clothes, of course. The closet, well, folks, the closet contains yet more evidence of my being a rat pack. This bedroom does not look like a bedroom. It looks like a warehouse. I'm not kidding you. Okay, well, now we're going to make full circle and come out of the bedroom. I must tell you, though, that as you come out of the bedroom, you're going to find the thermostat. No, it's not a Kelvin talking thermostat. It should be. But you know what? I'm going to turn this air conditioner on when I'm done with this tour here. It's a typical, boring, normal, sighty thermostat. Now, I've come out of the bedroom and I've put the wall on my left, and I did that on purpose. Because now we're going to make full circle and come back, believe it or not, into the living room. But now as you come back into the living room, the left side of the living room with the sofa is now on the right side. And what is on the left side of the living room, what was on the left side of the living room is now on the right side, and what was on the right side is now on the left side. Now I can start telling you about the right side of the living room as you came in. The first thing you'll encounter as you come back into the living room is my computer desk. Okay, it's not a computer desk. It's actually a big sprawling desk that stretches out into what I guess is supposed to be the dining area, right as you come out of the living room into the kitchen. The first thing you come to is my computer, then the keyboard with the monitor, and the chair I got as a birthday present. The desk itself was given to me by a friend who no longer lives here. Daryl Landry, as a matter of fact. You may remember Daryl from my kind of sound-seeing tour of HOMA. On the, there's a little lip on the desk which can slide out, kind of a slide-out surface. On there I have my index cards, which are all in a little box. And then I have my Catholic liturgical calendar. And then, of course, on the desk itself, though, it is this. My computer, of course, then my keyboard and monitor, as I said before. And then on either side of the monitor are the two small computer speakers. On the right side of my keyboard, there is a mouse. And right behind the mouse is the Canon scanner that I installed. Immediately to the right of the Canon scanner is the talking color ID.
Zero new calls.
It's the Classco 9900 CW. Immediately to the right of the caller ID is the telephone. And immediately to the right of it is behind the telephone is nothing. But on the desk, right near the right front corner, is the Epson printer. The Epson Stylus C40UX, which is obsolete. Just in back of the printer is my DSL modem. Now, immediately to the right of all that configuration is the left front speaker of my home theater system, on which there sit the following items. I've got three things piled up on top of this speaker, which I probably shouldn't have, but I do. The very topmost item is my turntable that I actually use. It's my Newmark PT01. It's a small portable turntable. It has three speeds, 33, 45, and 78. Yep, folks, 78. Right, the turntable is sitting on top of a still brand new Sony cassette deck, which I had to get to replace my Radio Shack cassette deck. And right sitting on the cassette deck and just to the left of the turntable are two phonograph needles Well, there's one phonograph needle is installed, so it's on the tone arm of the turntable. But there's the casing for that LP needle. And then there's the other needle, that's for the 78s. That's a sapphire-tipped needle. Well, right below the cassette deck is another turntable, which I can't use because the belt's broken. It is the turntable that my late uncle Elgin owned. It's a magnetic coil, which is another reason why I can't use it, because I don't have a magnetic coil preamp. But everything about this turntable, when it worked, this turntable screamed sensitivity. And folks, I'm here to tell you that it was a very good turntable at the time it was working. Below the turntable, of course, is the left front speaker of my home theater system. This home theater system is 5.1 channels, which means that it is, of course, the left front speaker, the center front speaker, and the right front speaker. The front center speaker is, well, let's do this in proper order. We come to, when you pass the left front speaker, you come to my entertainment center. This is the heart of my home theater system. This particular entertainment center I bought just before moving into this apartment. It comes apart in 44 pieces, folks. And on the very top of this entertainment center are various religious articles and pictures. I have a small statue of our late Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, on the very top. I have a cross, which was given to me when my apartment was blessed by some people from my church, St. Bernadette, and a picture of my father, which there is an interesting story behind that, I must tell you, because the picture was taken of my father, but if you look at the picture, you actually see Mary and Jesus in that picture also, even though the picture was technically taken only of my father. As I say, there's an interesting story behind that. The thing that you find as you come to the first shelf is a mess. It's mail that I haven't gone through and probably won't ever go through. Then you come to the 27-inch Sansun. Let's see. It's a Sanyo, actually. It's a Sanyo. You come to the Sanyo TV, and on top of that TV is the front center speaker of my home theater system. Then, of course, you come to the screen. This TV has served me well. And, you know, what can I say? It's a good TV. It's stereo, of course, and it can catch the secondary audio program channel. Okay. Coming now to the right side of my home entertainment center. Here you have all of the gear that powers my 5.1 channel home theater system. The very top of this configuration, on the very top shelf, is my DirecTV DVR satellite receiver. It is possible for a blind person to use the newer DirecTV receivers. In fact, it's even more possible than it was with the TiVo type receiver. Immediately below that is my VCR, my fairly fast aging Zenith talking VCR. Yes, it does work, for the moment, but for how long? Immediately below that is the very first CD burner I ever bought. I bought it when I was in Omaha. It's the Philips CDR870. The very first CD burner I ever bought, and I somehow can't bring myself to get rid of it. Perhaps because it was the first CD burner I ever bought. Below that is my DVD player, and it, frankly, I think it's about time to be replaced. It's a Samsung. I got a good deal on it, though. It only cost me $30 over at the music store where I bought it from. Then, of course, we come to the right front speaker. The speakers are Kenwood. And the reason for that is they came as part of a set, actually. They came with a Kenwood receiver, which I still have, which I've taken out of service when I upgraded to 5.1 channel surround. If you put that right front speaker on your left, or you can still keep it on your right or whatever. Anyway, to the right of the right front speaker is my subwoofer, which is a Radio Shack subwoofer. I couldn't afford anything better at the time, and it does serve the purpose. Coming back, of course, to the tile part of the floor. And that, folks, is a tour of my apartment. It's... I hope I've made it interesting. I've tried to as much as I could. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to... finally, I'm going to take this... bucket of water and empty it into the bathtub and finish off the rest of this drink. I forgot to mention one very important thing, and that, of course, is the windows. If you come back into the living room and put the sofa on the left, the windows are going to be on the left, and there are two of them, of course. They will also be closed, and I will do that now, and I will also turn on the air conditioner, finish this drink, and do all the rest of that stuff. So, folks, what can I say? It's been fun doing this Living Space podcast for you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you come back again soon. Thanks for listening to Raise World and Blind Cool Tech. Recorder's still dry. That's good. least I didn't get the recorder wet. Now I'll go ahead and plug this baby in and get to it. Okay, here we go.
And that's my living space. I neglected to mention that just above my computer I have two pictures. The picture on the left, which is more toward the kitchen, is of Mary, and the picture to the right is of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. If you want to contact me, you can do so at rforetjr@bellsouth.net or just click on the email me link in the show notes. If you're listening to this podcast as part of the Raise World subscription, you can do that. For those of you listening to the Blind Cool Tech podcast, that's why I give my contact information verbally. Well, that's it for the 14th edition of the Raise World podcast and this episode of the Blind Cool Tech podcast. God bless and thank you for listening.